Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Right, always a pleasure at spring training when Jack Marucci makes the rounds. Western Pennsylvania native. He's a bat magnate. And he's the head athletic trainer at LSU, which I... Did you guys win your last game this season? I believe you did.
Fortunately, we did. I saw Coach coming down. We were coming down to Miami, so we had a practice. We had we call it football school that morning. And when I was coming down to spring training, I was in the New Orleans airport, and I swear to God, I heard his voice. And sure enough, here he comes walking around the corner, and I went up to him. I said, "Can I see your ticket, sir?" And we were talking. We said, "It's the first time we've had a break." And people were coming up signing his autographs, and they all wanted to say, then the second guy, after he left, I looked at him, I said, "Coach, just think if we lost, it wouldn't be like this. People would be hating us." So,
it's amazing, yes, isn't it? I mean, you can be, it's funny how fickle things can be. But what was the, I remember I texted you at one point after, I think the Alabama, and you're like, "Yeah, we beat the evil empire."
Right.
But what about, some people may think LSU is the evil empire. You guys are building quite a program there.
Yeah, I think the main thing was, and I've told people, you know, I've been through spring training, and they want to know what our team was like, and they all have an affection for Coach O. And I said, this team was built, you know, 3 years ago, and, you know, Joe Burrow was the story. But Joe Burrow was someone that we did our homework on. We had some coaches up at Ohio State, and they felt like, you know, he could be a starter there. And so it wasn't like we were taking this big chance with him. But, you know, as much as we needed Joe Burrow needed us. So it was a great mix in that aspect. But our team, you know, was built off of character. And I've looked at a lot of numbers and try to look at some different matrices. And our successful teams and our best productive players were – based off of character, and we do kind of an internal thing that we do by looking at all these guys, and I think that was really the neat thing about this team, and I think that's why we could stay such at a high level when you have that type of men.
The obvious answer to this would be injuries, but as a trainer, what's the biggest, maybe another challenge that you guys face, maybe things that have changed over the years that you've been doing this?
It's a good question. I think we're instrumental, and we talk about this, you're here, but in the military it's called morale. We help keep the morale up too. You know, we look at guys when they come into the training room. We can look at their body language. So we have the temperature of that team. So we could tell Coach, man, we need to probably back off here. We you know, maybe, hey, we could put the gas on the pedal a little bit. So I felt like, you know, our role was expanded a lot more than just the injuries. And Coach even said to me, he goes, in our last stretch 8 weeks, I think the Oklahoma game, we had one running back that had a hamstring injury, and it was a little questionable. He could probably have continued to play. But the good news was that he was the only one I had on the injury report. And Coach goes, "I've never seen a place where we get guys back." I said, "Coach, we're not that good." And I meant by that was, listen, we have character guys that come back a lot easier because they want to come back. I said, it's the way we practice. And I said, you know, we have been cutting edge on a lot of the biologics we use. And, you know, I've done a couple speaking engagements on those with Dr. Andrews. And I think that's changed our world, too. So encompassing and all that, I think he allows us to grow. We looked at a lot of these different wide receivers on how we can put them in position. You know, we've taken on to another level and the way they see the football. So we were trying to put them in specific routes to help the way we take the strengths of these players. So he allows us to grow in all those areas. So we've expanded from that.
But you and your staff are in an interesting position because players come to you, they're vulnerable to a certain degree, and they have to trust you guys, and they may also confide in you
right
more than they would In other words, they'll be more upfront with you than they would maybe with a coach that they're afraid to say something to.
That is 100% correct, because we're kind of their sanctuary, because it's maybe a role where they don't feel comfortable talking to the coach at all. And we had a player go back to that game, the Oklahoma game. We had a four-string running back. And, you know, you watch players' behavior as the season goes on. And there was our fourth team back, who was always early on time, who always worked hard. He never complained, but he didn't have to say much. You know, this kid's a pretty good running back. Why don't we give him a chance? So, actually, our group went to our coaches and said, this may be a player to look at. His name was Chris Curry. He ended up starting in that game because they said, well, go talk to Coach O. And it went all the way up the line. And probably one of the greatest things I got, he thanked us at halftime of that Oklahoma game, almost tearful. He almost had 100 yards. I think he had like 89, 90 yards that game. So we see all that. And guys can confide in us and how they're feeling that day. I mean, there's a tons of stories. Like, we had a player named Deion Jones who didn't play for 4 years. And all of a sudden, you know, you have to talk to these guys. You have to tell them how sometimes, look, maybe you are getting screwed. You know, and that's okay to say that. We'll tell the coaches that's what we're going to tell them, because it gives them the ability to look at it and say, well, I'm not going to lose my confidence, because you can lose confidence quick. And the guy plays the following year, he's a second-round pick. He's probably, undoubtedly, maybe one of the top 10 linebackers in the NFL. So that plays a big role.
All right, we're talking to Jack Marucci, the head athletic trainer at LSU, national champions, right? I got that correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
let's talk about your other job, you're going to be in a unique position to be at such a high level in college football, and then here you are,
right,
not moonlighting, but you've got your business
with
Marucci Bats, and I believe it's the most used.
It is. It's the most used by Major League players.
Well, Josh Bally. So I was trying to sit down and get you to, you know, acknowledge me, and you're there talking to him for an hour.
Right, right. Well, we were talking a little sports science along with that, and bats and weights, and we kind of got a little more in deep. You know,
how did you get started doing this?
Well, I always say, thank God for Western Pennsylvania education. You know, we grew up, we're from Uniontown, and we had woodshop, and woodshop to me is one of the best classes I ever took. It was in eighth grade, and I knew how to use a wood lathe. And when my son wanted a bat, I called all the great bat companies, and everybody was probably an inch, you know, too long. And so I got a wild hair. I said, I'm going to try to make them the bats. I kind of remember how to use
like
the
natural, right? Like Roy Hobbs, you make
exactly.
Your own bat, Wonder Boy.
Exactly. So the first one, my son's name's Gino. I think I called it the Gino Crusher. And and I start making them, and we had a quarterback at the time named Matt Mock. He played in the Cubs organization. He was one of our national championship quarterbacks. I'd bring him in and say, Matt, take a look at this. Should I taper here? What do I need to do? So he was kind of my sounding board. And then that Eduardo Perez, who I probably thank more than anybody, who was the first one to actually sneak one in a game. And I'll never forget that day. It was up in St. Louis. And word of mouth took off, and here we are, you know, very humbly, the bats have taken.
College football is obviously, I mean, and you talk about, you know, four-string running backs that are they're heavily recruited. In other words, there's athletes all over the place, and the competition obviously is pretty stiff.
Right.
I would imagine, what's the competition like here? Now, you've got a great reputation now, but you had to work to build that. How did you do it? Just word of mouth, or how did you
work? I think
word
of mouth, but I always told people, you know, if you always hear people want to make money, or they want to chase that dollar. I said, if you chase the quality and you understand that things will come in time if you do the right thing. And I felt like we listened to the players. I said, what a novel idea. If they wanted to make a change in the handle, if they wanted to make a change in the knob, I listened to them. If this wood was better than the next wood, how we dried it. Maybe we don't need to dry it that much. Maybe we're drying it too much. So all that went into that by just listening to the player. And if they wanted a modification, we did it quickly. And I could talk, you know, being in athletics, I think it helped me because I could talk kind of the same language. I've been around it, and I think that was a big plus. And plus, I was not threatening to anybody. The clubhouse guys, we had the same stuff in common. We're the guys that work, you know, on the ground floor, as we call it. So I think it became a, you know, just a good combination with it. I think it was good being part of that LSU program.
Those are your guys.
Right.
The clubhouse guys.
They are.
You hear Bones and Bowles and those guys, that you go to them first, right?
Right.
Before you,
you
try to find out who's coming up and who's.
That's exactly. And I think you saw us last year. I you remember Cole Tucker. I asked these guys, give me a good character guy. I just tell me, I don't know who's your best player. I want the best character guys that we can work with. Cole Tucker was one of them we just talked about. That was 1 year ago, and I saw you guys. You guys recommended him too. I remember you guys said, yeah. You want a good kid?
Yeah.
That's that Cole Tucker. And
your problem is that Reynolds has been loyal to his company because he's from Tennessee.
Right.
And so you can't get him.
No, right? No. And look if they're happy with something,
fine, yeah.
You don't try to.
How do you guys maintain, because it's a craft.
Right.
And yet when it becomes a big business as well as a craft, there's mass production involved. And
there
how
is.
Can you stay true to the craft and still mass produce economically?
It's wonderful to hear you look at it that way because everyone thinks it's so easy. The bat business is one of the hardest because it's an organic material, so you have to you're dependent on something that grows from a naturally. So we could get a piece of wood in and it could have all these other problems, defoliation, or it could be warped, or we call it tiger maple and stress points. So what we try to do, we start from the top. The best wood comes out of that Pennsylvania area, and that's where we generate. Of course,
right.
We do. You
Come
know,
on,
it's the perfect
see.
Growing season. It's so that's where it all starts. We have wood mills up there. We have a lot of Amish that put a lot of effort into it. We have a lot of individuals. Starts with the logger, so he knows what type of log we want. I did something with Devin Mesoraco. We went to his house up in Punxsutawney. We cut some trees down. We cut two down.
Well,
from his yard.
Okay.
It was from his yard, and it was a neat story. But our logger and everybody knew what to look for. It was one of the two best trees I think we ever had too, because the wood was dead on, straight, had no defects.
Oh, no kidding. We run into him every once. Yeah. He lives here now. I say not Bradenton, but yeah. I mean, he lives in Pittsburgh now.
Right,
so.
Right. So he used those bats for opening day, and they have one of them in the Hall of Fame, so which is a whole other story. But the quality starts there. Then when it gets down to the we ship it after it's dried and kiln and rounded. Then we have another set of hands. It's probably about 22 sets of hands before it gets out to the player. So the quality is always looked at. You're going to have waste with it, and that's part of it. That's why it's hard to survive and maintain the level of keeping it at a high-end product.
Right. You're talking to Jack Marucci, a bat magnate, head athletic trainer at LSU. I'm going to hit you with a conflict here, I think.
Yeah.
Okay, Western Pennsylvania. I would imagine that you've been following the Steelers.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But Joe Burrow's your guy.
Right.
But although you've got guys all around the NFL, so I guess this is really nothing new.
We do.
And yet, if he ends up in Cincinnati and has to go against
them,
I mean, what do you do here? I mean, you've got one of your guys.
You always stay with your roots. So
you want Joe to have a good game, but the Steelers to win?
But I want those Steelers to win. So that'll never leave us. So we talked about how much we grew up in that Steeler culture. My mom would make us big dinner. If the Steelers lost on Sunday, we couldn't eat. We didn't want to see anything. We didn't want to eat. We didn't want to bother. If someone came to the door and disrupted our, don't answer the door. Don't answer the door. That's how much we were in the Steeler football. So, yeah, it's going to be Steeler football.